for December 1st to December 15th, 2005. News and commentary from November 21st to December 5th. Technology uses youth's high-frequency hearing sensitivity to control their movement. Imperialist lackeys in Iraq torture and kill. Freedom of the press is a joke. The United States wanted to bomb critics in the media. Amnesty International organizes a campaign to discredit the People's War in Nepal, accuses Maoists of abducting children and interfering with education. This is Seize the Time. You are listening to a revolutionary news, commentary, and music program produced by the Seize the Time Radio Collective. Inspired by the Maoist internationalist movement, Seize the Time supports the struggle against imperialism, against patriarchy, and against all oppression. We fight for communism, for the revolutionary transformation of society to end all oppression of nations by nations, groups by groups, and people by people. Technology uses youth's high-frequency hearing sensitivity to control their movement. December 5, 2005. Recently, the New York Times reported on the testing of a new device that uses sound to control where youth can be in public. The device is described as emitting an extremely irritating, pulsating noise that few people older than 30 are able to detect, but most people younger than 20 are able to hear. The Times reported that, quote, "The sound is designed to so irritate young people that after several minutes they cannot stand it and go away," end quote. The device, called a teenager repellent by some, was recently installed and tested at a convenience store in South Wales. Television stations have broadcast video of youths clamping their hands over their ears. The testing of the sonic device, called the Mosquito, is significant because it clearly shows how biological differences can be taken advantage of in order to reinforce social distinctions and power relations based on age. Beside exploiting biological differences, the Mosquito device is also unique in how blatantly it is being promoted as a way to exclude entire groups of already marginalized people from certain places. The device goes beyond anti-loitering signs, for instance, which are supposedly aimed at everyone. The Mosquito isn't just an anti-loitering or anti-theft device, it is an anti-youth device. Not all thieves and loiterers are youth, yet here is a technology aimed exclusively at youth. And so, those lending support to the use of this technology do not address the social causes of the crime the technology is supposed to prevent. While the media has portrayed the Mosquito in a sensational way, to laud its effectiveness, the use of technology to control the movement and presence of young people in different places is nothing new. One kind of high technology that was being used experimentally to control the location of student youth is radio frequency identification, or ARFID. ARFID, which is also used for animal identification, can use radio signals to alert a computer system when the wearer of an ARFID tag enters or leaves a certain area, such as a school campus. Technology making use of global positioning is openly marketed as a way to control youth. That includes both young children and teenagers. This GPS technology is increasingly popular and is being introduced in countries such as Brazil. Youths have long faced legal restrictions on their movement, such as curfews and so-called anti-gang and anti-loitering laws, as well as threats of violence or arrest for being in public spaces or stores. Technology and the legal system and lack of access to technology, such as transportation, are used to control youth and their movements. They are used to keep them out of some places and to pressure youth into other places where they are abused, exploited, manipulated, or indoctrinated for oppressive purposes. The exclusion of youth contributes to a culture where youth are demonized, ostracized, and disempowered. Technology like the Mosquito is just one manifestation of the system under which youth are oppressed and which ultimately can only be ended through a revolutionary transformation of society. Adults, particularly males, dominate public space and have a monopoly over technology and other resources. The powerful social groups that oppress youth won't give up their positions and privileges without a fight. Change is possible. The revolutionary movement of the world's exploited and oppressed aims to end all forms of oppression. and this includes the oppression of youth. Not content with existing restrictions on the movement of youth, the mainstream media is diverting attention from the political ramifications of this mosquito technology. The media is representing the mosquito merely as a way to prevent loitering and shoplifting by teenagers. But younger youth and some people in their 20s are also able to hear the irritating noise. ABC News correspondents joked about the technology on a news segment recently, one of them saying, quote, "We've been having fun with this because we all know that the scourge of humanity right now is loitering teenagers," end quote. An ITV Wales news correspondent made an interesting comment, quote, "If all this seems anti-young people, it could be turned around," end quote. But it is doubtful that adults would give up such a powerful means to exclude youth from the streets and other supposedly public places. Technology such as the mosquito also has potential applications in the third world, where it may do even more damage by serving to oppress protesters who are youths by shutting them out from certain streets, buildings, or areas. The mainstream media pretends to be awestruck by the mosquito's effects and dazzled by the technology. However, the focus on the mechanics of the technology serves to distract from the political consequences of this technology for subjugating youth. Sound-based technology is already used to repress people. BBC News in earlier November reported on the use of so-called sonic weapons at sea and near coasts. The U.S. military uses sonic weapons to maintain control over ports in southern Iraq. The BBC News reported, quote, "U.S. troops have also used the long-range acoustic device in action in the Iraqi cities of Fallujah and Baghdad, and it was also deployed for crowd control in New Orleans in the wake of Hurricane Katrina," end quote. Others, such as NPR, have reported on plans by American police departments to use the so-called long-range acoustic device to, quote, "control crowds and stop troublemakers without endangering innocent people," end quote. The devices are meant as a replacement for rubber bullets and tear gas. Similar sonic technology has been used in other places for repression. Several months ago, a device called the Scream was used by the Israeli army to forcibly disperse protesters. The mosquito may not be as damaging, but the mosquito opens up the possibility of sonic repressive devices aimed specifically at youth. Rather than using technology to improve the conditions of humanity, it is no surprise that the oppressors are using technology against the oppressed. They use technology against the oppressed in a variety of different ways, from reinforcing social distinctions in public places to ruthlessly repressing youth and other people in the third world. The oppressors will use everything at their disposal to hold on to power. They expand the frontiers of knowledge only to come up with new ways of keeping their patriarchal imperialist system afloat. The Coups, My Favorite Mutant, featuring Black Thought and Khalid Pauly from their upcoming album, Pick a Bigger Weapon.
For your just desserts, it's not just the words. Some of y'all heads up in the cloud, I'ma bring y'all back to earth. It's black back to burn, bullshit y'all talking about. Out your mouth, I'm not concerned, cause y'all got to learn. It's y'all turned like Detroit Red, when his head had an ultra perm. The long walk I earned, your bare heels so throw on your boots. The game camouflage like army suits, but I can see it more clear cause I came with the coupe in here. Ring the alarm, inform the troops, send them out into the world, go to war on the fluke. Eye to eye with the enemy you sworn to shoot. Now I'm coming at your neck, sick of hearing something wrong with me. Motherfucker, something wrong with you. When the chief just way too smart to question. The enemy, the brothers of a dark complexion. The governments of the world is shark infested. They heavy on weaponry like Charlton Heston, man. Look, it gets low, man. Low, now I'm talking about. Get it.
Listen up.
Come on.
It's my favorite mutant.
On death
to the pigs is my basic statement. I spit street stories till I taste the pavement. Trying to stay out the pen where we face enslavement. Had a foolproof hustle till they traced the payments. I was gripping my palm around some shitty rum, trying to find Psalm number 151 to forget what I'm owed as I clutch the Komodo red. Put down the bottle and come get the gun. Let's get off the chain like Kunta Kinte with a Mac-10. That one was gone like a dollar in a crack den. Steadily subtracting seeds and stems, mind clouded through the wheeze and phlegm. Numbing my brain off of that and the Jesus hymns. If we waiting for the time to fight these is thems, telling us to relax while they ease it in. We getting greased again. The truth I write is so cold it'll freeze my pen. I boots Riley, it's a pleasure to meet you. Never let they punk ass ever defeat you. They got us on the corner wearing pleather and see-through. All y'all's gold mines, they wanna deplete you. I ain't just finna rap on the track, I'm finna clap on the back. And it's been stacking it at 500 years before Iceberg ever leaned back in the lack. Before they told Rosa Black in the back. Before the CIA told Ricky Ross to put crack in the sack. And Gil Scott traded rapping for smack. This beat alone should get platinum plaques. I'd rather see a million of us ecstatic to scrap. Cause if we bapping them back, we automatically stack.
Check it out.
So what you gon' do?
It's my favorite mutiny.
I ain't rockin' with you. Your logic does not compute.
It's my favorite mutiny.
Yeah. Mr. Cal like chewing C, rebooting me, activating the community. Up in the bay like Huey P. They suck a free, it remind me of the BK. There's love for me, but the beast got it twisted. I'll untangle it, the black mind intertwined like the ropes they used to hang us with. This my favorite shit. I came in the game with a new way to spit. They got your questionnaire, who you banging with? Take it back to M-Hotep. I go a step deeper like a poor righteous teacher with holy intellect. Killer flow for my real niggas left. But inform the failure to jigaboo that there's been a death. Once again, you can feel hip-hop underground, still about my guap. Gangster like fuck the cops. Talib Kweli, revolutionary MC. And that ain't about to stop.
I ain't rockin' with you. So what you gon' do?
It's my favorite mutiny.
I ain't rockin' with you. Your logic does not compute.
My favorite mutiny.
Imperialist lackeys in Iraq torture and kill. The imperialist lackeys in Iraq are taking their cues from their American masters. State-sponsored torture and assassinations are rampant in Iraq. Recently, 173 prisoners were found in a clandestine underground bunker prison run by the Iraqi Interior Ministry. The starving 173 prisoners had also been tortured. Although initial reports put the number of prisoners found at 173, some later revised the figure to 161 prisoners. Hussein Kamal, a deputy interior minister, stated, quote, "I've never seen such a situation like this during the past 2 years in Baghdad. This is the worst. I saw signs of physical abuse by brutal beating. One or two detainees were paralyzed and some had their skin peeled off." End quote. The Guardian received reports from sources in Baghdad alleging, quote, rumors that mutilated corpses and torture instruments had also been found at the underground bunker, including bodies with electric drill holes in their heads, end quote. It was known that violent abuses were being committed in the Interior Ministry from the moment of the handover of sovereignty. This kind of thing is not entirely unexpected. There have long been reports of torture and assassinations by the lackey government in Iraq. Death squads known to carry out assassinations and torture have been integrated into the special police commandos under the command of the Interior Ministry. The disappearances in Iraq are reminiscent of the murders by CIA-backed death squads in Latin America during the 80s. In January this year, the Pentagon had considered implementing what it brazenly called the Salvador option. As its name suggests, this plan explicitly called for the use of death squads and assassinations. The plan also has its roots in Operation Phoenix, where thousands of Vietnamese people suspected of resisting the imperialists were killed. This only goes to show that the human rights situation in Iraq is not something that is merely a result of a general breakdown of law and order or just sectarian violence, as the imperialist apologists might claim. Rather, it is most likely the result of a conscious plan by the imperialists to suppress dissent. According to a human rights worker in Baghdad, quoted by The Observer, quote, "What has been happening since August is that when people are being picked up, it is by people out of uniform, but who have turned up in Ministry of Interior vehicles or show Ministry of the Interior ID cards. Many of those people are turning up with a bullet in the head," end quote. These killings have recently become more frequent. Recent United Nations Assistant Mission in Iraq report spoke of civilians subjected to, quote, "targeted assassinations and extrajudicial execution-style killings," end quote. The report was concerned with abuses, mass arrests, and the human costs of continued military operations in northern Iraq. These reports of torture and killing come at a time when Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and other American officials are being sued in federal court. Sherzad Khaled and Tahi Sabar are suing U.S. government officials, claiming that they had been detained and abused in 2003 by American forces. Khaled claimed that he had been locked in a cage and threatened with mock execution. Khaled, quoted in the Washington Post, said, quote, "I was wondering if it could be real that the American army would act this way," end quote. These reports verify long-standing accusations against the imperialist puppet state in Iraq. It should come as no surprise that the imperialist lackeys would be engaging in this kind of brutality. After all, they are just following in the footsteps of their imperialist masters. We hope that these recent reports will weaken the resolve of the imperialists. Although support for the war as it is currently being carried out is weakening, a recent poll by the Pew Research Center shows that nearly half of Americans are okay with the use of torture against suspected terrorists. The imperialists justified their war of aggression by saying that Saddam Hussein was violating human rights. They filled the airwaves with stories of Saddam's atrocities, atrocities that they themselves are implicated in since they aided the Iraq government during the Iran-Iraq War. The United States even defended the Iraqi government's use of chemical weapons against the Kurdish people. Now, the imperialists and their new lackeys are committing similar atrocities. These vicious acts of repression show that the imperialist reactionaries will do whatever it takes to win and more to secure their power over oppressed people and pave the way for economic exploitation. Imperialist concern for human rights is a lie. It is simply a means of justifying reactionary wars while defaming liberation movements. All people everywhere opposed to oppression should oppose the crimes committed by the imperialists and their lackeys in Iraq. Blackfishes Smash the Octopus from their 2003 album, Smash the Octopus. Sunrise Above's In America, featuring Lazarus and Shatterwise, from the new mixtape album, This Means War, www.bearregular.com.
Yo, I'm back, nigga. The resurrection of Malcolm. Let's go.
You gotta deal with the fact that millions of blacks got killed and entrapped. In America, Native Americans slayed and then buried in the ground that you're walking on. In America, the Chinese were brought in and treated like slaves when they built the railways. In America, whatever goes around comes back around eventually, and history is misery. In America,
100 million souls trapped in the good ship Jesus. Israelites taken back to Egypt. Deuteronomy 28, verse 68. Is my fate got me trapped in this iron gate? Fuck the United Snakes. I laughed at 9/11 and cried when they captured Saddam. My grandfather's armed and fought for Vietnam, ally with Muslims, but don't practice Islam. I'm Israelite born. Moses on the river now, son of dead slaves. Black wilderness child, fuck 40 acres. I'm like Nat Turner, black burner. Hold the fate of the race traitors. 2005 dying for paper. We trapped in this evil nature. Trapping, gun clapping. Behold the resurrection of Malcolm. I shoot the president to promote my last album.
You gotta
it's
deal
peak,
with
nigga.
The fact what? That millions of blacks got killed and entrapped. In America, Native Americans slayed and then buried in the ground that you're walking on. In America, the Chinese were brought in and treated like slaves when they built the railways. In America, whatever goes around comes back around eventually, and history is misery. In America, welcome to America, the home of the slaves. Got built on the back of the Africans they trafficked in. Yeah, America, the home of the slave, where millions of Native Americans got thrown in the grave. They dared to declare all men are created equal, but driving while black or Latino still illegal. Feel the ego as it attacks and grabs you with his talons. Manifest destiny, conquest of violence. Silence falls on a history that's never seen. Jacked half of Mexico, Puerto Rico, the Philippines. The empire strikes, invades and intervenes. The American dream is really just a nightmare, and they don't fight fair on a real ass Cuba, Nicaragua, Haiti, Grenada, how they do ya? All in the name of American interests. America invests blood soaked money. You gotta deal with the fact that millions of blacks got killed and entrapped. In America, Native Americans slayed and then buried in the ground that you're walking on. In America, the Chinese were brought in and treated like slaves when they built the railways. In America, whatever goes around comes back around eventually, and history is misery. In America,
back in the day when the church called us heathens, beat us till we bleed, said we worship demons, running through our villages on fire, all screaming, all the children, women, baby, killed by the mercenaries for a gold, then the God put us all in cemeteries, balanced with the natural, they were like a pack of wolves, straight out the underworld, hooked us on that alcohol, just for a sack of tools, traded all the shells and beats, compelled by these selfish greed, all those years of tears, now the rest kids selling weed, try to make a buck or two so they could try to eat right, heartaches with pain, never ever can a sleep time, sterilize the cultures, contaminate a holy land. The mainstream dreams about getting all the gold against Terminators, just like the California governor. Shatterwise, here's the battle cries. Now I'm loving up.
Freedom of press is a joke. The United Snakes wanted to bomb critics in the media. By Maoist. President George Bush planned to bomb and destroy the offices of Al Jazeera, according to recent reports published in the British press. This November, a memo marked top secret was leaked to the British media. This is just the latest news regarding past wrongdoings in the imperialist war against the media in the Middle East. Protests against Bush were held in Qatar in response to the allegations of the United States plotting to ruthlessly repress media outlets in the Third World. Al Jazeera is said to be considering and exploring legal options against the administration. The leaked memo details an alleged conversation between American President George Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair on April 16, 2004 in Washington, D.C. In the conversation, they discussed launching a military attack against the Al Jazeera satellite news channel's headquarters in Doha, Qatar. Qatar, however, is an ally of both the United States and Britain, and
It is reported that Blair was worried that such an attack would lead to revenge attacks. At least, the attack on Al Jazeera and Qatar would have probably led to dozens of deaths of those employed by the news agency and its officers in Qatar's capital city, Doha. A source told the Daily Mirror that Bush, quote, made clear he wanted to bomb Al Jazeera and Qatar and elsewhere. Blair replied that that would cause a big problem. There's no doubt what Bush wanted to do, and no doubt Blair didn't want him to do it, end quote. The Bush government's reaction has varied from dismissing it as a joke or nonsense to calling such allegations outlandish. Blair also denied that the allegations were true, saying he had no knowledge of any proposed American action. But yet, charges have now been placed against two men who are alleged to have leaked the document to the media. Civil servant David Coe and Leo O'Connor have now received charges related to the disclosing of official information. This recent news, if true, reflects the lengths that the imperialists will go to silence their critics. Al Jazeera was critical of the war against Afghanistan and Iraq. Al Jazeera was one of the most vocal in getting out stories of U.S. atrocities in Iraq, such as the use of chemical weapons against civilians in Fallujah. In the past, Al Jazeera has been accused by American generals of broadcasting anti-U.S. propaganda. For example, General Kimmett had demanded the removal of Al Jazeera from Fallujah in Iraq. The alleged conversation between Bush and Blair happened at a time when British officials were said to have been appalled by U.S. actions in Fallujah. What makes imperialist denials of the memo hard to believe is that Al Jazeera, along with other journalists, have been targeted in the past. In 2001, for instance, there was an attack by the United States on Al Jazeera's offices in Kabul, Afghanistan. Again, this time in November of 2002, Al Jazeera's offices in Kabul were destroyed by U.S. missile. In just one day, April 8, 2003, American forces killed three journalists in separate incidents. Taras Patsyuk, working for Reuters, died when a United States tank fired on the Palestine Hotel in Baghdad. Jose Cusso of Spain's Telecinco television was also killed at the hotel. And Tariq Ayoub, an Al Jazeera correspondent, was killed by U.S. airstrike against the Al Jazeera office in Baghdad. Although the United States claimed that the deaths were an accident, critics claimed that the attacks were meant to send a message aimed at silencing journalists. Rashid Hamid Wali of Al Jazeera was possibly killed by the United States while filming a gun battle in May 2004. Many other journalists have been killed under similar circumstances, such as one Palestinian, Mazen Dana, working for Reuters, who was filming outside of Abu Ghraib prison. Also, at least two from Al Arabiya television, Ali Abdul Aziz and Ali Al-Khatib, were shot dead by the imperialists in 2004. This list is far from exhaustive of all the journalists who the imperialists have killed or gotten away with killing. In addition to silencing their critics, the imperialists are paying Iraqi newspapers to run favorable stories written by U.S. information officers. Stories are placed in Iraqi papers with the assistance of defense contractors. These stories praise the United States and denounce those who resist the occupation. These stories are very common. They have titles such as, quote, Iraqis insist on living despite terrorism, end quote. This is just more of the same, just in a different place and targeting different people. The Bush administration has been criticized for paying for favorable op-ed pieces about its policies in the United States. This is just an extension of the same trend represented by Fox News and embedded journalists. The media always serves the imperialist system. Imperialists murdering their critics in the media is nothing new. There is a long history of the United States murdering journalists across the Third World. These latest events show the bloody truth about imperialism. This war is about power and imperialist profit. The imperialists have no real concern about the liberal democratic freedoms they claim to uphold, nor do they have any interest in free speech in Iraq, nor anywhere else. In reality, The imperialists allow freedom of the press only so long as the press doesn't step too far out of line and threaten the position of the ruling class. The claims by the imperialists that they want a free society in Iraq is a total lie. Imperialists have no concern for Iraqis, nor any oppressed peoples. Imperialists use rhetoric about human rights and freedom to justify their wars of aggression. In reality, imperialists themselves do the most to suppress freedom. They are the greatest violators of human rights. Those resisting imperialism deserve our support. Those journalists who risk their lives for truth deserve our support. Whether it is Mumia Abu-Jamal, who sits on death row for daring to speak the truth about U.S. violence against the black nation, or those who, in effect, risk their lives to bring us the truth about U.S. imperialist atrocities in Iraq. Immortal Techniques, The Fourth Branch, from his 2005 album, Revolutionary Volume 2, www.viperrecords.com.
A new age is upon us, and yet the past refuses to rest in its shallow grave. For those who hide behind the false image of the Son of Man shall stand before God, 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 God. It has begun, the beginning of the end. Yeah. Voice of racism preaching the gospel is devilish. A fake church called the Prophet Muhammad a terrorist. Forgetting God is not religion, but a spiritual bond. And Jesus is the most quoted prophet in the Quran. They bombed innocent people, trying to murder Saddam. When you gave them those chemical weapons to go to war with Iran. This is the information that they hold back from Peter Jennings. Cause Condoleezza Rice is just a new age Sally Hemings. I break it down with critical language and spiritual anguish. The Judas I hang with, the guilt of betraying Christ. Who murdered him, stole his religion, and painted him white. Translated in psychological. Logically tainted philosophy, conservative political right-wing ideology, glued together sloppily, the blasphemy of a nation. Got my back to the wall, cause I'm facing assassination. Guantanamo Bay, federal incarceration. How could this be? The land of the free, home of the brave, indigenous Holocaust, and the home of the slaves. Corporate America, dancing offbeat to the rhythm. You really think this country never sponsored terrorism? Human rights violations, we continue the saga. El Salvador and the Contras and Nicaragua. And on top of that, you still wanna take me to prison. Just cause I won't trade humanity for patriotism. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain. Suggestive thinking, causing your perspective to change. They wanna rearrange the whole point of view of the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government wants us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality, fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Read about the history of the place that we live in, and stop letting corporate news tell lies to your children. Flow like the blood of Abraham through the Jews and the Arabs, broken apart like a woman's heart, abused in a marriage, the brink of holy war, bottled up like a miscarriage. Embedded correspondents don't tell the source of the tension, and they refuse to even mention European intervention or the massacres in Jenin. The innocent screams, US manufactured missiles and M16s, weapon contracts and corrupted American dreams. Media censorship blocking out the video screens. A continent of oil kingdoms bought for a bargain. Democracy is just a word when the people are starving. The average citizen made to be blind to the reason. A desert full of genocide where the bodies are freezing. And the world doesn't believe that you're fighting for freedom, cause you fucked the Middle East and gave birth to a demon. It's open season with the CIA bugging my crib, trapped in a ghetto region like a Palestinian kid, where nobody gives a fuck whether you die or you live. I'm trying to give the truth, and I know the price is my life. But when I'm gone, they'll sing a song about Immortal Technique, who beheaded the president and the princes and cheeks. You don't give a fuck about us. I can see through your facade like a fallen angel standing in the presence of God. Bitch niggas scared of the truth when it looks at you hard. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain. Suggestive thinking causing your perspective to change. They wanna rearrange the whole point of view in the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government want us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality, fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Martial law is coming soon to the hood to kill yo, while you hanging your flag out your project window. Yeah. The fourth branch of the government, aka the media, seems to now have a retirement plan for ex-military officials, as if their opinion was at all unbiased. A machine shouldn't speak for men, so shut the fuck up, you mindless drone. And you know it's serious when these same media outfits are spending millions of dollars on a PR campaign to try to convince you they're fair and balanced, when they're some of the most ignorant and racist people giving that type of mentality a safe haven. We act like we share in the spoils of war that they do. We die in wars. We don't get the contracts to make money off them afterwards. We don't get weapons contracts, nigga. We don't get cheap labor for our companies, nigga. We are cheap labor, nigga. Turn off the news and read, nigga. Read. Read. Read.
That was The Fourth Branch by Immortal Technique. Third world workers don't benefit from so-called cheap labor, but first world populations do. Amnesty International organizes a campaign to discredit the People's War in Nepal, accuses Maoists of abducting children and interfering with education, November 21, 2005. November 20th was so-called Universal Children's Day. Coinciding with Universal Children's Day, Amnesty International on November 19th publicly displayed drawings and messages from children throughout the world criticizing Maoists in Nepal for alleged rights violations against children. With the help of the British Embassy, the drawings and messages were displayed in Kathmandu, the capital city of Nepal. Amnesty International has also released an open letter to Prachanda, chairman of the Communist Party of Nepal Maoist, accusing the Maoists of abducting children and denying children the right to have an education. MemNotes recently reviewed Innocent Voices. In its review, MemNotes said that even this apparently anti-imperialist movie about youth soldiers and youth fighters justifies imperialism under the pretext of promoting favorable condition for children's development. Blanket, simple-minded opposition to the use of child soldiers and even ideas about war's impact on children can be used to justify the imperialist status quo. The sentimentality, sensationalistic effort by Amnesty International to discredit the Nepal's People's War is a clear example of how oppressive ideas about children as mere receptacles of education imparted by adults can be used to defame and ultimately repress revolutionary movements. Reactionaries have long tried to discredit communists by accusing them of harming certain groups of people that society regards as vulnerable, such as women or youth. One of the reactionaries' favorite tactics is to accuse communists of harming children and taking away their childhoods. Childhood is idealized and romanticized by the bourgeoisie, who ignore the realities of growing up poor and hungry and oppressed and repressed under imperialism. The use of ideas about child development and education to criticize communists for causing instability and uncertainty in children's lives is recent. Sentiments about children's rights to uninterrupted education and stability are precisely what Amnesty International has mobilized to attack the People's War in Nepal. Drawings published on Amnesty's website have captions such as, "Please do not recruit children for fighting. They have a right to grow up peacefully and develop their own ideas of right and wrong. Their education should not suffer," end quote. Another caption reads, "The causes you are fighting for have nothing to do with the children you harm and whose futures you destroy. Children must be free in order to explore their own ways of thinking and living," end quote. One contributor got it half right. Quote, You are struggling for liberty against an autocratic system while you are practicing repression, but in a different direction." End quote. The drawings and messages were in response to Amnesty's call for the world students and teachers to send writing and artwork, quote, "in support of school children and teachers in Nepal," end quote. Some of these messages were collected through the internet. In its July report, Nepal, Children Caught in the Conflict, Amnesty accuses the Maoists of violating international humanitarian law. It also criticizes the Nepal government for violating international covenant on civil and political rights. The covenant states that parents have the right to force their children to receive religious and moral education, quote, "in conformity with their own convictions," end quote. Another international law document, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, states, quote, "parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children," end quote. In other words, what the reactionaries mean by children's right to education is education serving a particular social, political, and economic interest. This is dressed up as parents' rights. Indeed, children's rights to education currently exist in the context of their treatment as chattel property by adults. Amnesty encourages children to identify with children in Nepal as students and learners. This distracts attention from the social life of children and education in society. But education serves particular social purposes. Equal access to education does not mean obscuring the social purposes of education, nor preventing the revolutionary transformation of society. Part of this transformation involves the remaking of educational institutions. Amnesty, in its summer report, postures as a neutral party judging both the Maoists and the Nepal government. But Amnesty has a history of criticizing human rights violations in a way that conforms to the needs and interests of the oppressor classes. For example, Amnesty puts oppressor and oppressed people on the same footing despite their different abilities to respond to charges of human rights violations, and despite the much larger number of reports of violence and sexual assault by the Nepal government. Aside from selective and disproportionate criticism of marginalized groups, allegations of child abductions by Maoists in Nepal are based on questionable sources that are often unverifiable. Accounts of human rights violation allegedly committed by Maoists include reports that are based on other reports, which are themselves based on misleading mainstream media sources. Not surprisingly, misinformation gets stated as fact. For instance, both Amnesty's and the crisis group's recent reports on Nepal's Maoists draw from another report by the Watch List on Children and Armed Conflict. This common source clearly misrepresents what was said in the Nepali Times. The Times article portrays the 13-year-old leader of a group of Maoists as having a death wish and being brainwashed. Not content with this distortion, the Watch List report says that the Times article describes the youth's, quote, "forcible recruitment by Maoists along with other boys and girls," end quote. But the Times article describes nothing of the sort, only alleging that the youth's peasant father was forcibly recruited. Not only did Maoists not forcibly recruit the youth and the other youths who are mentioned, the article quotes the youth leader as saying that the government security forces, not Maoists, arrested, beat, and tortured youths in his village. His mother was killed because she was a Maoist. This cast doubt on the claim that her husband was abducted at all. The youth leader had quit school and joined the Maoists. The authors of the Watch List report grossly misrepresented what was said in the mainstream media sources. Yet the International Crisis Group calls the report credible. Amnesty has written open letters to Comrade Prachanda in the past. In its latest open letter to Prachanda, Amnesty accuses the Maoists of recruiting child soldiers. Yet even the report by the crisis group states that, quote, "evidence that child soldiers are used in combat is still patchy," end quote. The reactionaries contradict even themselves. Even if youths fighting in the armed struggle on the side of the people were common, the vast majority of youth in Nepal have an interest in taking part in this popular struggle against feudalism and imperialism. That people under 18 would take up arms to end this wretched system of oppression forever is not surprising. Amnesty, in its July report, says half of Nepal's population currently lives on less than a dollar a day, but it does not address the poverty that existed before the people's war began, or the role of feudalism and foreign imperialism in creating this poverty. Instead, it blames the People's War for worsening the poverty. Amnesty's attempt to portray the Maoist intervention in schools as a children's rights issue is not only an attempt to discredit the People's War, but it is also extremely belittling toward the children of Nepal, in particular those who are boldly fighting for liberation by armed struggle and other means. Amnesty's open letter states, quote, "School children are being denied their right to education," end quote. But Maoists haven't just discouraged counter-revolutionary indoctrination in schools. They have also worked to increase access to education by doing things like restricting school fees. This is something even the crisis group is forced to admit in its October intelligence report, saying that Maoists, quote, "targeted the inefficiencies and inequities of the education system," end quote, and they worked to reduce private school fees. And contrary to reports such as the one by UNICEF, which implies that Maoists run schools for propaganda purposes only, the Maoists are trying to put into practice all-round education curriculum serving the people. The UNICEF report is thick with misleading sentimentality, decrying the People's War's supposed threat to safe schools and the very sanctity of childhood itself. Never mind that many poor youth in Nepal can't even go to school in the first place. For reactionaries to say schools should be totally untouched by the People's War is dishonest. It is an attempt to obscure the role of schools in the old society, and it is an attempt to reinforce the oppressive status quo. Amnesty's other position is that war, in a general way, harms children. But this is fake pacifism and hypocritical. Amnesty, willing to support repression that it deems necessary, has repeatedly and strenuously denied being a pacifist organization in the past. Amnesty denounced so-called Maoist violence and portrays the People's War as a form of indiscriminate violence without any legitimate political basis. But it does not denounce American violence or British violence, even when schools and children's lives are directly and indirectly disrupted. At most, human rights violations against children are treated as the exception rather than the rule when it comes to imperialist wars. Amnesty's attack on the Maoists in Nepal comes as the imperialists, the Nepal monarchy, and their media mouthpieces continue to try to discredit the People's War, and the Maoists in particular. The latest spate of allegations about Maoists abducting children and denying them education is part of a larger effort to slander the revolutionary masses in Nepal, including the youth. The real violence against youth is being perpetrated by so-called human rights organizations who whip up emotional support for ruthlessly repressing thousands of youth who are bravely taking part in the People's War. "21st Century's People's War," a song from the People's War in Nepal by the Sin Chang Culture Family.
सजिलो त्यही सल्कने जहाँ देख्छ दुश्मन त्यही पड्कने जहाँ खस सजिलो त्यही सल्कने जहाँ देख्छ दुश्मन त्यही पड्कने शक्तिशाली बैरीलाई टुक्रा टुक्रा पार्दै खाने शक्तिशाली बैरीलाई टुक्रा टुक्रा पार्दै खाने धक्का धक्का दिँदै दुश्मनको चिहान खन्ने धक्का पछि धक्का दिँदै दुश्मनको चिहान खन्ने
को जालो सरे संगठन को जालो बुन्ने मुख्य शत्रु संग लड़ना अरु संग हाथ मिलाने मुख्य शत्रु संग लड़ना अरु संग हाथ मिलाने एक पटक हजार मुखा एक तेरा बरसाने एक पटक हजार मुखा एक तेरा बरसाने
This has been Seize the Time. News, stories, and commentaries are audio versions of articles available on the internet at www.mimnotes.info. News and commentary may be slightly edited for radio broadcast. For more information or to request a footnoted transcript, email seize the time at mimnotes.info.